A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Connecting to the big show.
In 3, 2, 1.
All we're doing is creating private industry that widens the gap between people who have and people who have not.
It comes down, PJ, to a very simple rule of be a good neighbour, talk to your neighbours.
And I say, because of bureaucracy, I cannot get work permits.
We're the one for Cork and ready to talk.
Can we just talk?
Call 0818-969696.
Text or WhatsApp 083-396-9696.
Email opinion at 96fm.ie.
The lines are live.
Let's kickstart the conversation.
This is the Opinion Line with PJ Coogan.
On Cork's 96FM.
Okay, we'll do the ads today. We will do your favourite Christmas ads today. Between now and 12, we'll come up with the top five and we'll do them in the last hour. We're having some trouble separating two in particular, and I'm going to get you to think hard about which one. Only one of them will make the top five, but they're both arguing for a place there. I'll let you sort that out during the morning. Also want you to start thinking, it's 3 weeks tomorrow, Christmas Eve. I want you to start thinking about your favourite Christmas telly. There was a list came out yesterday. They were talking about it in the news. There was a list they did in Britain of the top 30 Christmas moments or seasonal moments or moments you remember on telly from Christmas. I have a few of them to let you hear again, but I want your particular favourite. We're going to run this over the next couple of weeks to find out what's your favourite moment, because the top 30 as published was really British, as you'd expect when it was done in Britain, kind of thing. We'd know a lot of it, an awful lot of it actually, as you'll find out. But I want to know what was yours. Was it Mrs. Brown? Was it Father Ted? Was it something that happened on the toy show? Whatever your favourite Christmas moment was on television, have a think about it. 0818 96 96 96. Before I go anywhere, though, is that in? Is that ready? We've got a voice note has come in on 0818 96 96 96. The number, the text to WhatsApp is 083 396 96 96. Let's check. I think it's ready. There's a voice note has come in to us straight away. Yeah, is this Thomas? It is. Let me see. If you want to get to us really quickly and you don't have time to do a long text and you won't be able to wait for us to come back to you on the phone because we need to go into a queue for the phone, you can just pop something straight onto your WhatsApp voicemail, which is what Thomas has done this morning.
Tell you what the problem is when you go through the tunnel. The lights are only going on green for about 2 seconds and they stay on red for at least a couple of minutes. Some people are just getting impatient. And the workers are just walking past. They don't know what's going on. We can phone someone up and tell them that the lights are actually knackered. That's why there's about 3,000 people going mad there trying to get through the tunnel.
Something going on with the lights down at the tunnel. Tom goes through it practically every day, a couple of times a day. So the lights playing up at the tunnel this morning. Oh, what a great way to start a Friday morning. 0818 96 96 96. A couple of weeks ago, I was supposed to go to something in Dublin. And I didn't. We were all supposed to go up and we decided we wouldn't. Not because we didn't want to go. In fact, we really did want to go to the event in particular. But there was no way we could justify the hotel prices. And that's not the first time that this has happened in the course of 2022. It's been a big talking point right throughout the summer, right throughout the tourist season. And as I said, last month, we were supposed to go to something and we just chose, nah, it's not it. Not, you can't justify that. Can't justify it. Nisi, you were trying to do the same thing, trying to head away for a little break. What's going on? Morning.
How are you? Yeah, I mean, I just don't really understand what's going on in their minds, you know, because, you know, it seems to be post-pandemic that all these charges are being, you know, extortionate rates. And I don't understand why they would choose now to do that, because why wouldn't they want people to get things back to normal, get, you know, get people back into the city? Nobody wants to go there anymore.
What was your own experience? You were trying to book.
I was just looking for somewhere to go, really, and I hadn't really decided where. So I just decided I'd look up Dublin because I hadn't been there for a long time. You know, it used to be that we'd go once a year, and I just couldn't get over it. I was like, there's just no way. Places I used to be able to get for maybe around 230, that'd be split between myself and someone else usually. You know, they were looking for something like 560, 600 plus, and I was like, what? Are you insane? The Shelburne is 900 and something.
But we all know.
So I was like, well, Dublin's out, you know.
But we all knew the Shelburne was always expensive. We all knew the Westbury were always expensive.
Yeah.
But now others that were fairly ordinary, nice, but ordinary places are almost competing for that now.
And they can't win, you know. And I mean, so I decided then, sure, look, I'll look up, you know, Killarney or Cloran. Now, Killarney at one stage was gone berserk as well, but they've calmed down a bit now. You know, you could get something, now about 260 average, but that'd usually be room only, but it's doable, you know. But so I said, you know, Wexford's the same now, all about 270, 260 room only. But Dublin is just, there's nowhere really that you can get that's decent for less than 400, like. And I'm going, but what's this about, you know? I don't understand what their reasoning is at all.
They'll put it down to the cost of doing business. They'll put it down to energy. They'll put it down to this, that and the other. Do you
but
buy
then
any of that?
They're crying in the papers this week that they can't get people, you know, that they're hemorrhaging money. But, you know, what do they think is going to happen? People aren't fools. Like, they're crying because they can't get staff and they won't pay them properly. And they're crying because they can't get people in. And they're charging people extortionate rates. I don't know if they're going to look in the mirror at any stage and ask themselves why that might be.
Hmm. Something else I noticed recently, because we were looking at maybe going up to a few shows in Dublin next year. The cost of actually going to a show is very reasonable at the moment in places like the Bord Gáis Energy, but the hotels are gone so expensive, it's not worth it.
That's what's killing it. And what's going to happen is that if artists can't sell out the shows, which will happen, they won't want to come to Dublin anymore. Promoters won't want to promote anything in Dublin. And, you know, that's what's going to happen. So many people that I know are put off going because they're either going to have to go and come back the same night or stay somewhere like Bray and get the dart, and they don't really want to do that either. You know, so people are just being put off. They just won't go.
Well, look, through this job, I get invitations to go to things. I had two invitations in the last 6 months, one being to the Eagles at the Aviva Stadium. Best seats in the house. It's nice. It comes with the job sometimes.
Yeah.
I didn't go because I couldn't get a hotel room for less than about 500 quid.
It's ridiculous. You can't reason with it to yourself, throwing that kind of money away, really. I mean, we're all, you know, we've all got energy bills now. We've all got, everything's gone through the roof, inflation. We're all, you know, looking at our wallets and we're a small country. Like, we're, you know, they're charging New York prices in Dublin.
Well, I have news for you. New York prices are very competitive with Dublin these days, if you do some comparisons.
Exactly. Like, you know, and I mean, to notions that we're, you know, we're not a country of notions, you know. We're very level-headed people. And I think if the hotels want to steady themselves, then they're going to have to do a bit of introspection and change their ways. And the government might have to, if they end up bailing out hotels, I said it on Twitter, I said I'll need to be sedated.
One is required to look at the other side, and if you see some of the bills that hotels have posted, they've shown us their ESB bills, electricity bills, gone from 8,000 a month last year to 20,000 a month this year. Like, that is a reality, and you can't expect
absolutely.
Them. They have to. So what are they supposed to do about that, I guess?
You know, you can't rely on the customer to make that up for you.
Yeah.
It's not the customer's fault that this ridiculous rise in energy bills is happening. At the end of the day, if the government are going to have to step in, then they're going to have to do something. But, you know, I understand there's cafes as well getting ridiculous bills, monthly bills that are just unsustainable for any business. And I have huge sympathy for that. But at the end of the day, you can't push that cost onto everybody else, because it, you know, we can't shoulder the burden.
I was talking to a journalist last month, Nisi, who wanted to go to see an artist in Dublin, and actually the same artist in Manchester, including the flight and accommodation, it was cheaper to go. We have a problem.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, if you're better off leaving the country than spending money in your own country, that's a sad state of affairs. You know, there's no winners in that.
Right. Nisi, good talking to you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, PJ. Take care of yourself.
Cheers, Nisi. Yeah, it's chronic. And during the summer, it was bad. I remember doing some numbers during the summer. And I can name this hotel because I stayed there 2 years running in 20 and 21 on the same night in the same month. So I compared this month when we weren't staying, and or this year when we weren't staying, and the price had trebled. I mean, trebled over that time. Now, I used to stay, this is on the phone, I used to stay in Maldron in Newlands Cross. I know it well, for €79. That was 2 or 3 years ago. Now it's double that, over double that. I'm a self-employed contractor. The companies that retain me include my expenses. I'm shut out of Dublin now because they won't pay for that accommodation. They use people who don't need to stay overnight. I've gone as far as the Moy Valley in Kildare, on the border there with Meath. I've stayed in Dundalk in order to secure the bit of business in Dublin. Kate says family members who were attending a national triathlon meeting were quoted €600 accommodation for two people with no breakfast. Compare that to €369 for a week in the Canaries, including flight per person, around the same time. Look, I get it. They have to make money after the pandemic and so on, but it's only a bed. These prices are going too far. And Kevin says you'd go on a flight to Glasgow or Liverpool and have a weekend away with the money that they're charging for one night away in Dublin. We thought it might have just been a summer thing. No, it's continued right through. And I was only looking at one of our favourite shows, myself and the Queen Bee. One of our favourite shows is touring again next year. And the great Rebecca Storm is coming back for one more lash off of Blood Brothers. And they're doing a run in the Bord Gáis Energy. I was looking it up. And we love the show. And we love Rebecca. And we love the Bord Gáis. And I'd love to go. But the price of accommodation is just stupid. Absolutely stupid. Places we used to stay around the Bord Gáis there, places we've stayed before, were so reasonable we'd bring the young fella and we'd make a weekend out of it. But now, nah, it's just not worth it. And that's the way it's gone. Dublin has gone absolutely crazy. I suppose it all might tie in with changes in society. We were talking about cashless during the week, and I held over a few of your comments because I don't like the idea of things being 100% cashless. And I love the idea where if it's under, say, 50 quid, they have to take cash. I don't like this idea of premises like cafes and shops, small shops, restaurants, going completely, bars, going completely cashless. I think if the job is, or if whatever you're buying is under 50 quid, then you should have to take cash. And I don't like it on planes either. I don't like that. But Morris was on to say the cashless society is a good idea. It'll stop money laundering and tax evasion because transactions can be traced. However, there are situations where cash may still be needed, like in a power blackout for people to buy food And what will they do when people have no cash on Sunday morning religious services to put the roof on the church? Says Morris. Well, I've news to you, Morris. They're tapping already at the back of the church, if you've not seen, as I have. PJ, in relation to credit card machines and some business not taking cards, because some don't. But Pascal Donoghue was saying that during the week. He had the other end of the stick entirely. He was talking about how it's unusual now for places not to take cash. I think I still have that. Hang on.
I do believe that we need to have a broad discussion regarding how payments are made within our economy, given big changes that are now happening. And if I'm in an environment that never takes a debit card, of course I'm suspicious as to why. But I at the same time recognise that for lots of businesses, there can be reasons on the day why the machine isn't working.
That's Pascal. I think Pascal would like us all to go completely cashless by the sound of it. By the sound of it. Maybe I'm wrong. But by the sound of that. Now it says, reacting to that, Eddie said, in relation to credit card machines and some businesses not taking cards, maybe it's because it costs over €50 a month for a card reading machine for a small business. That's a lot of money. Maybe Pascal might provide free machines to small businesses instead of thinking that they're doing something underhand. Thanks for that, Eddie. Tony says, I think someone should make a list of the outlets that are gone cashless and let the people who want to support it do that. The rest of us boycott it. I think they'd lose a lot of support as people realise it's not just a privacy killer, but it's a job killer too. And Patricia, lastly on this, on planes in particular, I think it's handy. Oh God, really? Because I really do wonder about the dirt on money. In any hospitality job, including planes, I'm relieved when I see its tap. Really, Patricia? Really? Oh no. No, no, I hated it on the plane. I hated to see it on a plane. And I remember I said to you, all I wanted was a flipping Kit Kat. I mean, using me card for a Kit Kat. Like, give over. 0818 96 96 96. Now, Niall Quinn had a video up on Facebook last week for the toy show of him getting the Christmas tree ready for the toy show. Now, in any house last week where you did it, how long did it take you? Did it take you an hour? 2 hours? Get it down out of the attic, open up all the branches, put under it. How long did it take you to get the Christmas tree up and ready for the toy show? Now, Niall, you can tell us in a minute how long it took you, because I know it didn't take you very long, but how long are you actually wrapping the Christmas tree? This is gas. How long are you wrapping the Christmas tree in cling film to put it away? And when did you start? Morning to you.
Good morning. Well, I started back in 2014, I believe. In January 2015 was the first time I wrapped the tree in cling film. I refer in the video to having seen something on Facebook. I can't remember what exactly it was, but it appears to have been a meme on Facebook that was going around. So I said I'd give it a go. And the reason I gave it a go was that you'd have a clamour in this house in the run-up to Christmas with people asking, can we put up the Christmas tree? Can we put up the Christmas tree? And we'll do it as a family. Yeah. And 5 minutes into the process, they're all on their devices and it's left to dad. So I lose my whole weekend and a whole bunch of weeknights putting up the Christmas tree and decorations and what have you. So I said, if I'm doing it, that's fine, but I'm doing it on my terms. So I said I'd give this wrapping the Christmas tree thing a go. Right. And the first year, I think I used sort of like heavy duty bin liners.
Yeah.
And that didn't really work. So, from there, I suppose, PJ, a process of refinement started where we were using cling film instead and some tougher stuff underneath just to keep it bound tight. Yeah. But that proved harder to cut through. And then we were cutting the lights. So we started adding a length of 1x2.
Well, we'll start with the bin bags, right? Start with the bin bags idea, because most people would have a few bin bags in the house. And what did you do? Did you try to just shove various parts of it into bin bags and then tie it all together, or did you wrap them around it?
I think what we did the first year was we poked a hole in the bottom of the bin liner, and it would have been a heavier duty bin liner as well. Like the really light ones are just kind of, the branches will just poke through. So it would almost be like the heaviness of builder's tarp or whatever, you know. So we poked a hole in that, turned the tree over on its side and tried to stand it in almost. Took it off its stand and tried to stand it in through the bin liner. And of course, half the decorations fell off. It wouldn't have been that anyway. So it was a bit of a disaster. So we had to to work on it. So and then of course to make it tight enough to go into the attic, we wrapped it in cling film after that.
Right.
So now you're using bin liners and cling film, and it's a whole heap of single use nasty plastic.
Yeah.
But that's how we did it the first year. By the second year, we'd gotten rid of the bin liners, and we were just using.
Now, the bit of 1x2, which I see in the video, why?
Because we were cutting the lights as you're trying to cut back through the. You're using Stanley knives or craft blades, you know, to get back through the cling film at Christmas to release it. And we found, particularly if we were trying to do it quickly, we were cutting through the lights. So if you use the length of 2x1, you're just cutting down along the 2x1.
Oh,
and that's protecting the tree, the decorations, the tinsel, the lights and everything behind it.
Clever. And do you attach the 2x1 to the tree with something like a cable tie, or is it just...
Yeah, it's just a bit of tape. Whatever. Right. It, just enough to hold it in place. And once you have the cling film on it, it holds itself in place anyway.
Right. So the tree is fully decorated, remains fully decorated. You put in the 2x1 and then you start wrapping. You need two to do that, I'd say.
Yeah, I usually had one of my sons just to hold it steady for the first bit of it. And once you get the first wrap on, it gets pretty straightforward after that.
Nice.
And as the years progressed, and like we're up to the 8th time doing it now, the piece of 2x1 was replaced with, it's actually just cardboard. We took delivery of something and part of the packaging was this sort of like L form, or if you're looking at edge on, it's shaped like a capital L. It's just cardboard, and that was better again because it guided the Stanley blade as you're going back down through the cling film to release it.
Right.
So that's what we've been using it for probably 3 years now, and what we found with as we were getting the wrap tighter and tighter and better materials that we were using, the time that we were taking to release the Christmas tree was falling.
I'll get to that. I'm still with the wrapping process, right? So you get it wrapped, and you then have to put it away. I'm only looking at my attic opening. There is no way I would get a fully wrapped Christmas tree with, what, they're 2 feet, 3 feet across the bottom through my attic.
Probably, yeah. It might be a little bit of a squeeze, but it will go through.
Right.
I would be going base first because that, like the branches will fold upwards, if you know what I mean. Whereas you break them if you try to fold them down or around.
I see. So that gets to the attic, lies there, and you bring it down. But you recommend the shed, do you, instead?
I put it in the attic the first couple of years, but I had a little bit of spare room out in the shed, and particularly as we were getting the wrap tighter and tighter,
so
this thing isn't going to take up any more room than a ladder out there, you know?
Right.
So it stands in the corner, looking very lonely out there, I must say.
Yeah.
And it stands in the corner out in the shed from one end of the year to the other. And then on the day that we're putting it up, which is usually I'd be after December 8th sometime for putting up Christmas trees. Mm. But then the COVID thing happened and, you know, people were looking for anything to give a bit of joy. So we started putting it up the day of the toy show.
Yeah.
So on the day of the toy show, the tree gets, we call it the rat check. The tree gets stood in the backyard for an hour. Just in case anything's moved into it. In the year it's been there, and that's never been a problem anyway. It's just part of the tradition.
Yeah.
And then we move it into place and start sizing up how we're going to get it out.
You videoed it the other night for the toy show. How long to get it unwrapped, opened and plugged in?
First year we did it, 8 minutes. That had been gradually toppling. And the other night we did it in 38 seconds.
38 seconds. Now, when it comes out of all that wrapping, surely it looks a bit sorry for itself.
Well, I'm actually sitting right next to it right now as I'm talking to you. And it can be a little bit bedheaded, for sure, because it's been wrapped up for 11 months. But it's in perfect working order. All the decorations are ready to go. And you can just go around it and unfold some of those little twigs that have gotten bent inwards, and they're easy to put back in again. Then when you're done with it, it looks absolutely fine. And at this stage, we don't even use much cling film because we keep the old stuff. We use that for a sort of a display we do in our porch, a sort of a little Christmas scene.
Oh, cool.
And that just gets laid back on. at the, when we're putting the Christmas tree away in January. That just, we just lie it gently onto it and then start at the bottom with the roll of cling film. And with ours, it would just take a single wrap, maybe two with the outside.
Oh, so you're recycling the cling film as well?
Oh, yeah. There's no waste. I wouldn't lightly use a single-use material like cling film like that. It'd be kind of indefensible. But, I, if people are just getting the idea to do it now, by all means, use as much as you need to. And just hold on to it the following year. You'll get to use it again and again.
I can think of a lot of fellas now in pubs and nightclubs thinking, do you know what now?
Yeah, we should get competitive on this. Like, you know, I think a whole bunch of people releasing their Christmas trees at, I don't know, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock on the Night of the Tie show, there should be some sort of a prize for it, who can do it the quickest.
There's a Facebook video competition or Instagram or TikTok or whatever happens to be the flavour of the month. Imagine that, TikTok trees.
Something like that would work, I think.
I'm off to buy a roll of cling film. Niall, good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Cheers, PJ.
Cheers, fella. That's good. Wrapping the tree. Now, one would not recommend doing this with a real tree, because apart from the fact that the poor thing will die and go brown and rot, it could easily be a fire hazard as well. But with your artificial tree, what would you do with your... Would you consider that wrapping... Just wrap it up in cling film. That's the bizarrest thing. 0818 96 96 96. You'd hop on a flight to Glasgow or Liverpool and have a weekend away with what they're charging. And this came in on 083 396 96 96, following my chat with Nisi about the cost of going to Dublin and staying in a hotel.
Hi, Peter, just listening to you there about the prices in Dublin. The cost of going to a show in Dublin is ridiculous. So we're booked now in January to go to the Phantom of the Opera in London, and we have a hotel, the President Hotel, in the centre of London, and it's about €95 per person. Now, it's a lovely hotel. The rooms are tidy, they're neat, they're spotless clean, right in the centre of London, €95 for a room per person for a night. So we're going for two nights. It's cheaper to go to London to go to a show than to go up to Dublin to go to a show. So there you are. What's that telling you?
Exactly. What does that tell you? Thanks for that. And I know the President Hotel. I've stayed in the President Hotel. A tidy little hotel is exactly the way to describe it. The rooms aren't huge, but they're nice. And nice bit of grub. And okay, the bar's expensive, but then city centre bars in London are wicked expensive. But that's it. That £95, I'm assuming, per person, per night. So they're staying two nights, and they're going to see Phantom of the Opera, and they're going to fly over and back. And it's costing them less than to go to see it in Dublin. It does kind of say it all, doesn't it? I feel hotels should keep their prices low to attract more people rather than higher prices for less people, says Gareth, the South African man in Cork. Thanks, Gareth. Good man. I wonder what it's like to stay in a hotel in Johannesburg or someplace like that. Tony says, I was able to do a week in Austria in September. Flight was Dublin to Munich, picked up Munich and transported to Austria on a coach. A week, bed, breakfast and evening meal, €968. And these are two countries renowned for being expensive. So Austria, okay? A week in Austria. Flights, accommodation, bed, breakfast, evening meal and his transport from the airport, €968. That's what you're talking about around the country. Now, have a listen to this. This is a recent housing protest. Now, this one's in Dublin, but look, they're all over the country at the moment. This is a recent housing protest. Just some audio, because Seamus wants to talk about the situation. Here we go. Now, that's a recent protest in Dublin. Now, there was protests in Fermoy the other night, and I don't want to talk about them, okay? I don't want to talk about them. But Seamus, what did you want to talk about? Morning.
Good morning, PJ. How you doing?
You wanted to talk about that one that we just heard there.
Yeah, I think it's a very powerful speech. It's been doing the rounds on social media with a lot of people. And for those who were at the protest as well, like, they'll know all about it. But I mean, it just speaks a lot of truth, you know. I agree with a lot of the points that he had to make. You know, the protests that are taking place up in Dublin, the government and all agencies connected will refer to far-right activism and whatever else. But according to the government at the moment, you know, if you have a family and you're in debt and you're in this situation and you so much as speak up against it and speak out in the masses, you're referred to a far right.
Well, hold on a second now, Seamus, on the far right thing. Are you talking about that protest, or are you talking about East Wall, or are you talking about Fermoy? Because to me, they're different types of protest.
There are different types of protest. That particular protest is slightly different. But I mean, they're all just addressing the problems that this government have created. It's not the people that have created it. It's actually government policy that's created a lot of the problems, whether it be, you know, the mass immigration of asylum seekers from all over the world, not just Ukraine at the moment.
Seamus, we don't have mass immigration. We don't have mass immigration. That's easily bandied around word. We've taken in Ukrainians that need help.
I understand that, but I think there's at the moment in East Wall, there's 700 immigrants being slotted into an ESB building or ZBS building in Dublin. And
disused
building,
all over
the world. They're not from Ukraine, yeah. So, if there's not mass immigration going on to the tune of up to 60,000 people, I don't know what is.
Well, you're conflating two types of immigration.
Well, would you agree that the government have created these problems that's going on in this country at the moment?
I would agree we have a serious homelessness problem, and I would agree very much that the kind of things that are being done, and I'll say this straight out, the kind of things that are being done for those people who are being housed in East Wall, for the people who are being helped in Fermoy, I do believe, Seamus, that we should also be doing that for what you might call our own, I hate the term, our own homeless, but yes, I do believe we should be doing that for them.
Yeah, we should be, and they haven't. And, you know, it's amazing.
And I don't know why they haven't, but I do believe we should. I have no problem. I have absolutely no difficulty with the people being accommodated in East Wall. I have absolutely no difficulty with the people being accommodated in Fermoy. None that ever was. But I do have a problem with walking up Patrick Street at 7 o'clock in the morning and seeing a guy in a doorway. That's I have a problem with, yes.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, you say that, like, but, you know...
I say it and I stand over it. Stand over it.
Yeah. Well,
I don't have any problem with the Ukrainians being accommodated. No.
Nor do I. I don't have this. This is a government policy. Like, this is not a blame game on refugees or asylum seekers coming into the country.
But then why, Seamus, is it always put up there that we're putting people into East Wall and putting people into Fermoy? Why is that always used in the same breath?
I'll tell you why. Because people are angry and they're afraid of what's happening. It's, you know, it is mass immigration. I mean, if you had a building down your down the end of your street and all of a sudden 600 or 700 people from all over the world who are unchecked, it's not like these...
So you're going down a dangerous road there.
Why is it a dangerous road to be concerned about unchecked people just entering your country?
But we travel the world as... We are the greatest mass immigrants of all time, the Irish. Yeah, we went all over the world, mate.
Yeah, well,
we did. We did.
It's a divisive narrative that's out there at the moment, and I've no doubt that if it was happening down the your,
but you're
your
fueling
town,
it. You're fueling
at
it.
The end of your street.
You're fueling.
Well, I'm not fueling. Well, what it's really highlighting or fueling is the fact that the government have failed the people absolutely miserably at every level in this country. I don't, like, it's amazing that, like, it's one narrative that has to be agreed with effectively. That's what you're endorsing yourself when you tell me that I'm dangerous in my words.
I agree with you that more should be done for the guy in the
door. Can I just finish the point, though?
Go on.
Just let me finish the point. The point being that if we have a country with 1 million people and growing on hospital waiting lists, and we already have a homelessness crisis that's out of control in this country, and we have the highest rents in Europe, and we have no accommodation available for our own people effectively. So the problems that have been created by our government in our own country have become almost insurmountable. It does not make sense that we open the doors to unchecked people to just arrive in masses, be dropped off.
See, there's the kind of arguments being made in Fermoy and being made in East Wall They're dangerous.
Yeah, but it may be deemed dangerous, but it's very, most of these people, 99% of these people are very concerned families, parents,
And many of the people in Fermoy and many of the people in East Wall are terrified people running from the other corners, from the four corners of the world, particularly Ukraine.
And if somebody hoists a tricolour or,
What is the point of doing that?
I think these people, it's not, I wouldn't say they're all far-right activists.
What is the point of the tricolour?
I don't know exactly, but I would imagine when I see
You brought it into the conversation. What's the point of the tricolour? What do you think it is?
I think it's people who are just concerned about. What they're trying to do is.
No, I'll tell you what it is. It's an Ireland for the Irish attitude, which makes me sick, frankly.
It's happening because of divisive failed policy by the government that's created by the government. That's why this is happening, you know? Going back to the original clip. I think it's powerful, and it's a real indictment on the government and their failures for the people in this country. You know, a lot of these people are out in East Wall and other parts of the country because they're fearful for the future of their own children in this country. As that guy said, the people who are building this country, they can't afford to even live in it, and it's been destroyed by government
He's got an absolutely valid point, but what's happening is, and I'll leave you with this because time is against me, the actual genuine homeless crisis, which is devastating, is being used by those who would do it as a stick to beat immigrants with. And I don't stand over that.
Can I just respond to that? I think that the bulk of people out there protesting, that's the reference that's being made to them, or the label that's being put on them, when really they're actually if you look at what's going on out there, they're really trying to highlight the failures. And if you look at the signs that they're holding up when they're out protesting, it's to highlight the failures of the current government. And as that guy said in his own speech, he's made a lot of reference to different foreign nationals that are suffering in this country already.
Yes, indeed,
people
he did.
Who are working here. I'm not referring to asylum seekers, but the governments have absolutely 1,000% failed the people of this country miserably, and they need to be removed from power soon.
Not going to disagree with you on failures. Absolutely not going to disagree with you on failures, but I will not. I don't like the conflating of the two problems. Thanks, Seamus.
The lines are live.
And we're ready to talk. Can we just talk? Call 0818 96 96 96.
Text or WhatsApp 083 396 96 96.
Email opinion at 96fm.ie.
The Opinion Line with PJ Coogan.
On Cork's 96FM.
Yeah, we've got people agreeing with the sentiments in that audio clip that I played from the protest. Everything the speakers say in that clip is so true. This is the kind of reality should be presented on primetime and the 6 o'clock news. And then listening to my conversation with Seamus, which went down other roads, shall we say. But Jerry then says 65,000 people coming into the country is mass immigration on top of the 11,500 homeless Irish already here. Jerry, 65,000 out of a population of approximately 5 million is like it's less than 1.1%. It's a tiny, tiny amount. It's 1%. It's rough, less than 1% of the population. So, really, mass immigration? No, I don't agree with that. And I don't agree with conflating what the protests in Fermoy and the protests in East Wall, trying to say that you just care about homelessness. No, I'm not buying that. Yes, it doesn't help. It doesn't help. It certainly lends a certain momentum to those protests. But I don't think it helps. 0818 96 96 96. That's not to say that the homelessness situation isn't an absolute shambles. And you really would hope that in 2023 they'll get more right than they got right in 2022. But we can only live and wait for that one. Anyway, where are we going? 0818 96 96 96. During the week, talking an awful lot about dogs. It dominated our conversations for nearly 2 days, talking about dogs in the wake of that awful attack on little Alejandro up in County Wexford, and he's left in an awful state after it and has months and months and years of pain ahead of him. And the Taoiseach took it up in the Dáil and said, why would anybody want to own those breeds, those pit bull breeds and the likes of that? And I can't disagree with him, even though there are people agreeing with him and people agreeing with me and people disagreeing with me and said the most wonderful pets and this, that and the other. And Saoirse rang then. She minds these dogs, these particular breeds. She minds them, she trains them, she keeps them and she loves them. And she was quite annoyed with my attitude.
I just didn't like the statement that you said, I don't know why anyone has a pit bull.
I don't.
Personally, for me, I have plenty of dogs. I have all XL bullies, I have staffies, and I have pit bulls. Now, each and every single one of them have been with kids. I've had my 2-year-old godchild literally in the kennels with my dogs. She's been out by my kennel, sticking her hands in the kennel. I haven't been there watching her. Her older sister has been there. She's 9 or 10. And they go out there, they play with the dogs and everything else.
But those dogs, Saoirse, have the power in their jaws and a head of muscle and bone to take the hand clean off a child, take the hand clean off you. That's not safe, is it?
Well, if the dogs are raised right, then there's no need to worry.
Tricia listens in London. What are you listening? And I know the breed. Hi, Tricia. The breed has been banned over there since the 80s, I'm told.
Yeah, but you still see them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still see them, and you see people with like leather straps around their mouths if they're in the street. You wouldn't see. I haven't seen one for ages. You know, that's. I just can't believe she let a child in a cage with an animal.
Or near the cage, yeah. Not too sure whether it was in or near.
No, she said it was. It's a vicious animal.
Yeah.
It's every. Conversation since has proved that people keep justifying about the dog, saying they were bred for bull, so it's in their DNA to kill or harm. I mean, how is that little boy, by the way?
The little lad up the country, he's in an awful state, Trish. He's in a terrible state. He's got no lower lip left. One of his cheeks is going to take many operations.
However much you love cuddles or Sam or whatever the dogs are called, that boy should be a reason why a child should not go near a dog like that alone or at all.
A friend of mine sent me a video clip last night. He has a French bulldog, which is another bull breed, but he showed me videos of the bulldog playing with the little toddler, and you can tell they have a remarkable relationship. And I said, but would you not be afraid? He said, I would no more leave the child alone with the dog.
Well, I can tell you a story about my sister had a miniature Jack Russell, a horrible little rat dog.
I hate them.
We were around there one day, and my daughter, she was walking from the sofa that was by the bay window. The dog was sitting on my nephew's lap. He launched and onto Rachel's face.
Yeah.
Grabbed the dog and everything. Geraldine took the dog into the kitchen, my daughter into the kitchen. And do you know what came out of her mouth? Don't tell her husband, because if he bites anyone else, he's going.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't, because then, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Mm. But you can't trust dogs. You can't trust cats. You can't trust children and animals together.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have two dogs, and they are part of the family, and they are adored beyond words. Would I leave either of them alone with a small baby? No, I wouldn't.
Not at all. They'd nip. They'd nip, wouldn't they? Because they are the centre of the attention, and then this other one comes in, and all of a sudden, that's getting the attention. And by the way, is John Lewis that in your top five?
I don't know which one, Trish, it would be there.
The one!
I don't like the new one.
No, I don't like the new one. But the original, you know, the one with the telescope and the old man and the moon?
Oh, that was lovely.
The Lily Allen.
Somewhere Only We Know. Yeah. Oh, that was a beauty. That was a beauty. Yeah. I don't have audio of that one. We could grab that. Now you might throw our flipping pole all over the place. That's a lovely one, Lily Allen. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice
she
one.
She also turned that into a Christmas song when it never was before.
She did, yeah. Yeah, it was very good.
All right.
Enjoyed it. All right.
Good talking to you, Tricia. Thank you very much. That's Tricia listens to the show in London. Would you let a dog... Okay, any dog. Any dog. Would you let them alone with a small child?
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
0818 96 96 96. Back to dogs. Dogs have dominated our conversation this week in so many ways, and I have pages and pages of stuff to get to. Linda.
Good morning, PJ.
You don't like these breeds at all, do you?
It's not about not liking the breed. It's, I think it's a selective ownership more than anything else. It's basically anybody, they're a lockjaw dog. So once their jaws locked, that's it. So in my personal view, I think they should be either owned by somebody that does not have children. I know there's people out there pulling the hair out of their head at this. None of us know what a child is going to do to an animal. Animals have the same temperament as a human, good days, bad days. We all get our bad days when we're off or not feeling well. How do you know your animal is not feeling sick inside?
Yes.
And when a child or something, I mean, you don't even have to do something to an animal, you know, to upset an animal or a human, as you know yourself. And, like, people think, like, oh, my God, I can leave my dog with this. You know, their children or grandchildren or whoever. You cannot trust an animal, no matter how docile an animal is. I have a dog here. She's so docile. But you still cannot leave a child with her. She's actually a toy poodle. Now, you could do anything with her, you know, or you could throw her around the place.
And you know they were originally a hunting dog. Did you know that?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I'd highly recommend them for a family pet. You've no hairs. Fantastic little. They're so docile, but at the end of the day, it's an animal, no matter what, and. If she bites the child on the face, she's going to hurt the child and she's going to do a lot of damage, the same as any dog, and she's a small dog.
Yes.
So if you have a big dog like that, like I know somebody that had, they actually rescued a pit bull, and the father came into the house and the dog walked this animal. There was only two of them in the house and this pit bull went for the father out of the blue, no apparent reason. That was fine. They said, okay, something, you know, must have startled the dog. The dog went again for the father and that was it. The dog was gone.
Yeah.
The dog was put down for the simple reason was it was dangerous.
Can't trust
that could have been a child.
Yeah.
Now, that man, if that dog came in the door and the son wasn't there, that dog would have made a mess of that man because that man would not have been able to get that dog off him and that man would have been in his 60s.
Yeah.
You know? That is how dangerous. It doesn't have to be a child. It can be an adult that's being attacked.
I mean,
and now, they're lovely dogs, and I've been across them. If you want a dog that looks in that direction, go for a British Bulldog. They're another beautiful dog. They're not lockjaw. They're so docile with kids. But if you wanted a dog that looks in that direction.
They're
just all they want is love. They're big.
Yeah.
They're stupid, lovable dogs.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to go down that line of having a pit bulldog, you know what I mean? But it's so silly for people out there to say, I can leave my animal with anybody.
That's
not right. That's not true.
And I don't know if you've ever watched, Linda, do you know what zoomies are?
No, I don't.
All right, zoomies are when you have a couple of dogs and they play. And it's very sort of snarly play. So snarling and snapping at each other. And there's absolutely no harm intended. They're just play fighting, like kids play.
Dogs do the same.
Yeah.
My dogs do the same.
That's what they call zoomies. That's zoomies, right?
All right.
But the problem is, I mean, during the summer, when we were on holidays, we had our two away being kennelled. And they went playing zoomies. And it got a bit heated. And what happens is if the zoomies gets a bit lively in the kitchen at home, you stop it, you two, and they'll break it up. And literally, stop it, you two, for God's sake, right? But in a kennel house, not going to happen. And we ended up with a vet bill for an injured lip. There was no harm intended. Yeah. But what I'm thinking is a child, the very same thing.
Exactly. The way I would look at it is an elderly person that would be vulnerable and wouldn't have the strength to get the dog off them.
Yeah.
It's not even about the dog. It's the person that's been attacked.
Yeah.
Have they got the strength to defend themselves? If they haven't, an animal like that should not be in presence.
And an elderly person or a child does not have that strength or presence of mind in the case of the child. Linda, thank you. Great call. Do appreciate it. 0818 96 96 96. Never leave a baby or toddler alone with any animal. They could grab or pinch or startle the animal. I'm an animal lover, but if a child is injured, then in my opinion, it's the adult's fault, not the fault of the animal or the child. If a person is stupid enough to leave a child alone with any animal, it's going to happen. Yeah, you've got a lot of that. Oh, I think we're deciding now between the Kellogg's ads and the ESB ads, and that's turning out to be a fairly easy competition too. 0818 96 96 96. Kathleen, I've seen this. It happens all the time. Emer was telling me it happened to them coming in this morning in the car. Very, very near one. People walking out behind cars doing stupid things on the roads. The pedestrian's always right. The trouble is sometimes the pedestrian can be quite stupid. Morning.
Morning, TJ. How are things?
I'm not wrong, am I?
No, I've had a couple of close shaves lately, and honestly, it would put the heart crossways in you. Like, the evenings coming home from work, obviously, they're dark. There's that drizzly rain. You know, the lights are on, hopefully. Some cars have no lights on, which makes it worse. But your wipers are on, and, you know, people are dressed in dark clothes, and that's fine. That's our colour for winter. We wear dark clothes, but they walk out thinking because the car lights are on them, they can be seen. They can't. I was coming along a road the other day, and next thing, this fella was standing beside my window, you know, on the driver's side. He had walked out. I didn't see him. And if I was 2 seconds later, he would have been up in the bonnet.
Yeah.
It took the heart out of me, I'll be honest with you. And I've seen so many close shaves with cyclists and pedestrians. And I was just looking there last night. So far this year, there's 35 pedestrians dead on our roads and 7 cyclists. Now, that's 42 people who won't be the table this year.
That's right.
It's especially in the evening time, we're all tired after work. We're kind of, I suppose, distracted. Mm. Everyone, cyclists, walkers. I've no problem with cyclists. I really don't. I was a cyclist time myself.
No.
I've no problem with people on scooters, but just light up. Don't think because the car lights are on you that you can be seen. You really can.
Yeah.
And the Road Safety Authority, if you go onto their website, you can get the high-vis vests free, armbands free. And if all comes to all, you can put on the light on your mobile phone if you're walking on a road that there's no footpath. I would put on the light on your mobile phone just so that you're seen.
Have you noticed, Kathleen, as well, that people are kind of angry on the roads?
Oh my God. It's dreadful, dreadful. Yeah, definitely more angry. I don't know what's wrong with people. I suppose we're all stressed. I don't know.
Mm. I mean, okay, I wouldn't be the most patient person sitting in a traffic jam. I would be cursing into the roof.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's getting worse.
It is getting worse. And, you know, if people just held back for 3 to 5 seconds and just waited, it would dissolve. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm living out here in Tucker. They've widened footpaths nearly out into the middle of the road.
God, yeah.
You know, the road now is very tight.
You could play a match and on those pavements. I wonder what all that's about, like.
I have no idea. I have no idea. Because we're between two universities, we'd say, CIT and UCC, and the whole idea was that there'd be a cycle lane, you know, for students.
Mm.
They brought out the footpaths, I'd say, 6 to 8 feet on either side. No cycle lane.
Mm.
And before the buses could pull in, you know, like, it's a very busy route between work and school and everything. And if the bus pulls in the morning and there's 10 people getting on, the cars behind
that's
have
right.
to wait.
That's right. We have it down below from us here in McCork. The Palomine pointed that out to me about the Douglas one. He drives a lot for work, and one. He drives a lot for work and he regularly gets caught behind that. But down here in McCurtain Street, there's a bus pulling in the middle of the street all
that's
day
right.
long. Absolutely.
All
crazy.
Day long, yeah.
You mentioned about, you know, visibility. The law says, we know that, Kathleen, the law says car versus pedestrian, the car is always going to be in the wrong. That's unfortunate. It's just what the law says. But the pedestrian, do you think the pedestrian has a duty of care to themselves and a duty of respect to other road users to be visible?
Yes. We all have a duty of respect when we use the roads. Pedestrians, yes. This jaywalking, as they call it, just walking out from behind cars. We all do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I find, and I shouldn't say it, I suppose, the Ubers or the Just Eats or the Deliveroos, sorry, not the Ubers, they don't take any notice of lights or
drinks. Some of them are mad, yeah, I know, yeah.
They cycle out into the middle of a junction, they look to see what's not moving, and they're gone, you know, and it's so dangerous. We all have a duty of respect, you know, to mind ourselves. We're all precious to our families, and as I say, there's 42 people so far this year that won't be at the table this year, and really and truly, you know, it's an awful lot that you can't reverse, and I'm just asking people, please, just light up, take your time, and drivers, hold back for 5 seconds. Like, there's a lot of slip roads where cars come down off a slip road, but they can't get into the right lane.
True.
And you'll just see drivers, they'll drive up and they won't let them in. Give the hold back for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
It'll save you an hour when you run into the
My wife would love listening to what you're saying, because she's the very one that at a junction, she lets somebody go rather than jump herself. And I'd be saying to her, for God's sake, you'd be in there 3 times. Let him go. It's only 10 seconds. It's only 10 seconds. And we often argue about it. It's true. Okay. Thanks, Kathleen. Appreciate that. 0818 96 96 96. Seamus was listening to Kathleen. How are you?
Not too bad. And yourself?
Good. You've noticed another group that you want to say something about? No, they mightn't hear you because they got headphones on. Go on.
Yeah, it's a mess. I don't know how many times this year I've had him walk out in front of me. Hey, looking at the mobile phone and the headphones on. They don't see me, they don't hear me.
Yeah. Yeah, now walkers now or cyclists?
Walkers.
Yeah.
Walkers. Most of my driving is rural areas, as the man says, and you don't get too many cyclists.
Mm. And what are you in, car or bus?
Bus.
Bus, so...
Yeah, I'm in a minibus now this morning, but I would be driving up to 53 seaters.
Right. We were all told as young people, never walk in front of a bus. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Never.
Go behind the bus.
Yeah. Like, it's like a truck. If you pass out and walk out in front of me in a 53-seater bus, I won't see you.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, it's a simple thing. I was taught, now I'm in my mid-60s, I was taught it years ago as a young fella above in Cork by my father. If you want to cross the road in front of a bus or a truck, make sure the driver sees you.
Yes.
And 99 times over 100, he'll tell you go.
That's right.
You know, he will give you the signal to go. He won't hold you there like me. But it's, I don't know, I think it's stupid. The higher educated are getting the stupider they are.
Seamus, you abuse. Good man. Thanks. 0818 96 96 96. Yeah, no, listen, scooters, lads. Scooters. And I know I'm on about this for a while, but I saw something this morning. I was coming in and I had a good bit of time, so I was all right. I wasn't in a hurry. It was a quite nice morning. I was driving in. I won't give you the time and I won't give you the place because I wouldn't like to identify the individual involved. I wouldn't, to be fair to him. But I was in a particular part of my route this morning, sitting at a traffic light, waiting for the off. And I got the off, and I was the second car. So the car in front of me moved away through the green light. And as I went to leave off my handbrake, this guy came out across the junction on a scooter. Okay? Now, he was well lit up. The scooter even had built-in lights on it and stuff. But not only was he on the scooter, not only was he crossing a line of traffic that had just gotten a green light, but he also had a child on the scooter. I could not believe what I was looking at. So there he was, on an electric scooter, going across a line of traffic that's just got a green light, and he's got a child with him standing on the deck of the scooter. And I just thought, Mother of God Almighty, are you off your head? 0818 96 96 96. Good God, it's not the child's fault. The dog should have a muzzle and a lead and be under the owner's control. I didn't like Trisha's comments on that, said Jimmy. But I think Trisha's saying don't have dogs around small children, I think. No, never leave a baby or toddler alone with an animal. They could grab or pinch or startle the animal. With piles more, I'll get to them. Coming back to the immigration, and Seamus with me before the news at 10, and he mentioned the term mass immigration. Hi, this is Atakan. I'd like to mention the guy saying we have mass immigration is talking nonsense. We have 190,000 vacant homes. We could house refugees and the homeless. It is possible to do both. I'm sick and tired of this us versus them narrative that's been created. We're all the same at the end of the day. Let's treat each other with dignity and respect. Thanks, Atakan. And PJ, please get off your high horse. Yes, Ireland for the Irish. Why not? Oh, for God's sake. There are economic migration taking advantage of our fools in power. Well, the reason I say I don't like Ireland for the Irish was, do you remember No Irish Need Apply? No blacks, no dogs, no Irish? Do you ever remember that? Do you never, ever, anyone who saw that? No blacks, no Irish, no dogs? Did happen. You know, did happen. And economic migrants, we're the Olympic and world champion of economic migrancy. We've done it the world over, to our benefit and the benefit of the rest of the world. But we are the world Olympic champions of economic migration. And we should always remember that. I love the Kellogg's ad, says Abby. My daughter, Maria, is the spit of her. I took a photo of the girl on the TV, put it into a photo of my daughter at that age. They're so similar. People really think they're very alike. The Kellogg's ad, yeah. The Bord Gáis one, that's, yeah. The music is beautiful. Oh, this is the fire, yeah. Another lovely little girl in it as well, very moving, yeah. And we looked at the little John Lewis one, the Lily Allen. You see, it's very visual. It's very visual. You can't really see or imagine what's been done on screen. But thanks for that quick nomination from Trisha in London. 0818 96 96 96. We are going to the Panto with Auntie Maureen next.
Access all areas on Cork's 96 FM.
Your guide to nightlife on Leaside.
Hi, it's Michael with the latest in Cork entertainment. Controversial Scottish satirist and comedian Frankie Boyle is set to bring his Lap of Shame show to Cork Opera House in the new year when he plays the venue on Thursday, March 23rd. Tickets are on sale now from the venue's box office and from corkoperahouse.ie.
Access all areas.
Ollie Murs returns to Cork to play live at the Marquee as he tours the release of Marry Me, his first new studio album in over 4 years. He comes to Leaside on Friday, June 9th with very special guest True Tides, with tickets on sale now.
Access all areas.
If you have a gig, exhibition or any entertainment news coming up in the next few weeks, drop us a line here at Access All Areas on AAA at 96FM.ie.
Access All Areas.
Your guide to nightlife on Leaside.
On Cork's 96FM.
Right, on the Fridays of December, right up to our last Friday on air, which is Friday 23rd, we will have Festive Fridays. Okay? And today, we're going to the Panto with Auntie Maureen.
There's just one sleep left until the panto returns to the Everyman. Catherine Mahon-Buckley is producer and director of the Everyman and Cada Cinderella.
I call this week the cake that we now have to mix. So it's all the ingredients and you put it together and you hope you're going to release the best cake ever.
This time last year was a much different scene. Last year, I used to have to wait until 8:30 in the morning for the stage director to come or text me and say, all is okay. I knew we could do the shows that day. I didn't know whether we could do them the following day. It was very hard living in that unpredictable world. But at least this year, it's lovely to think that we don't have masks and that everybody's much more relaxed. Cinderella runs at the McCurtain Street venue until Sunday, January 15th. Padraig De Fusco is making his panto and professional debut as Prince William.
It's really exciting, and to be able to work with the cast that I'm working with is mad, like, and everyone's so welcoming, and being from Waterford, I'm a Waterford man, so I feel like I've been welcomed into the Cork Panto family, and playing the Prince is great because again, like Michael said, he's not your typical Prince, like he's a bit of a rocker, he likes rock music, and he wants to rebel a little bit, and Alfred's there to keep him on the straight and narrow.
Michael Sands is Alfred.
For a lot of these kids, it's the first time they've ever seen live entertainment, and particularly with a thing that we don't want to mention anymore. It's their first time coming in and their first time being around other smallies and then encouraged to interact with us. And they have an influence in the story. It's so live to them, and it's actual real life to them. So that has its own onus, and that then brings its own adrenaline, you know?
Glanmire's Shiva Marin is fairy godmother, and while her character is making dreams come true for Cinders, bagging this role is a dream come true for Shiva.
I've always grown up watching all of loads of other people play principal parts, and this year getting it being my turn, I was just so honoured to have gotten the part.
Jessica O'Shea is in the ensemble and has been really enjoying the build up to opening day.
We're constantly having loads of fun during the rehearsals, you know, all different types of things going on in the rehearsals, dancing, acting, singing, so nice variety, and yeah, it's really enjoyable.
This is Kellyanne Healy's second year choreographing the entire panto.
But I suppose for me this year is probably my favourite because I missed the kids a lot last year due to COVID, but they're back this year and they're absolutely amazing, and it's lovely to be able to choreograph them and the ensemble and everyone else. Cinderella is my favourite panto. It's just so magical. As Jess said, there's a lot of audience participation, there's loads of song, dance, there's pop songs that, you know, young kids will recognise. Of course, there's their favourite thrown in, I Won't Ruin It. So yeah, there's a bit for everyone, moms, dads, oh, anyone.
I also wanted to find out from the cast if they had any pre-show rituals.
I like to have a shower before every show. I don't know what that says about me. I don't know, it's just kind of one of these things. Everybody has their own thing.
I like to brush my teeth. That's a start.
That's good to know.
That's a start. Just kind of a vocal warm up, and yeah, just look after yourself and keep healthy.
Making sure, like, I drink loads of water throughout the day before a show, like getting your makeup on, getting your hair done, yeah, maybe just brushing your teeth as well before going on. Yeah, really, just kind of little things like that.
This year's panto at the Everyman Cinderella opens tomorrow. Oh yes, it does.
Thanks, Maureen. Festive Friday. And I'm in the panto.
I am.
0818 96 96 96. Will you wear your Christmas jumper going to the panto? Well, you should, shouldn't you? Organise it for Cork Simon. Why don't a whole load of you go to the panto in your Christmas jumpers as part of your Christmas jumper day for Cork Simon? It's just another way to raise vital funds. You can do a Christmas jumper day anywhere. Do it at work, do it at home, do it at school, go to the panto, a load of you in your Christmas jumpers. Just do it. Just do it, because nobody wants their child to grow up homeless on Christmas Day. And a Simon Christmas jumper day is something you can do to make sure that doesn't happen. You can get a fundraising pack at corksimon.ie, and then you can join us at Cork's 96 FM to help fight homelessness in Cork. Just before we go out of the hour, can I mention two young boys that we all know really well, and we've all followed their lives really, really closely. I'm talking about Hassan and Hussein Benhafaf. Lovely boys, two lovely boys, and their mom, Angie, and the rest of their family. The boys are 13 today. Boys turn 13 today. Think back 13 years ago. Did we even think they'd survive, or 12 years ago, did we even think that they would survive? And they are 13. I was only talking to them last Saturday night at the Business Cork Awards, where they were presented with the Spirit of Cork Awards. They look fantastic in their two matching wheelchairs and their fabulous clobber from Suit Distributors looked after them. It was just brilliant to see them. So they turn 13 today, Hassan and Hussein Ben Haffaf. Happy birthday, boys. You know what line she's on there, guys. We have a winner for our free Panto Friday. There'll be another one next hour and another one throughout the whole afternoon. If you're going around town this weekend, you might see a bus wrapped in the most wonderful purple colours to mark International Day of Persons with Disabilities, which is today and tomorrow, all the weekend. The bus will be going around. It's beautifully wrapped in the colour purple. Transport for Ireland has wrapped the bus and they're taking jam cards. There was a photo shoot outside the City Hall this morning with the Lord Mayor to launch it. But that bus is going around to mark the International Day of People with Disabilities. Well done to my pal Kieran Delaney, who managed to organise that bus. He'll have a hand in the work of getting that bus on the road for the weekend, just to mark the occasion that it is. But well done. 0818 96 96 96. Okay, Claire Byrne is our winner. No, not the one on the radio or the television. No, another Claire Byrne in Glanmire, heading off through the Panto, free Panto Friday winner. Every hour this afternoon as well with the Everyman. Right here on Cork's 96FM, right up to 7 o'clock. Free Panto Friday. Panto opens tomorrow and runs until January. And I mean it.
I'm actually in it.
0818 96 96 96. A few more comments I'm holding over about... I'm talking to Seamus earlier on about homelessness and this conflating of the homelessness problem, mixing that up with the immigration issue and refugees and protests in Tramore and protests in East Wall, and then trying to make them look like the same protests when you protest against homelessness on a Saturday afternoon. There are people who want to mix those homelessness protests up, but I'm not letting them get away with that. But here's one for you. If you put up a cover version of your favourite song, so you go play a guitar or a piano or whatever, you cover your favourite song, and you put it up on TikTok or Facebook or up on the gram or wherever, and lots of musicians break into music that way. What if your favourite artist then picks up on that? And what if, as a result of them picking up on it, you end up playing support to your favourite artist in your hometown? Like, can you imagine that happening? That's exactly what happened for a young man called Andrew Fletcher. He is a student of St. Colman's in East Cork. And just there a week or so ago, he opened for Mundy at the Blackbird in Ballycotton. I mean, and Mundy invited him himself to do it. Andrew, how did you end up becoming a Mundy fan? Because, you know, you're very young to be into Mundy. How did that happen to start with anyway? Good morning.
Well, hello. Basically, really, growing up kind of in the house, Mundy's always been on, really. My dad and my mother and father really just both. He's always been on, like, even all the time in the car, as long as I can remember, really.
Yeah, you'd have grown up with July and Mexico and...
Yeah, all those tunes, yeah.
Yeah, and you played... When did you start playing the guitar yourself then?
During lockdown, my brother bought a guitar and he was going to try learn it. And basically, he just kind of, one day, just kind of picked it up and said, you know what, I want to try learn the guitar. And I started trying to teach myself.
Right.
And eventually, he gave up and just gave the guitar to me. And since then, really, just all the time, really, all the time.
Okay, so what kind of stuff do you like to perform?
I love everything, really. Like, I love a lot of the grunge. A lot of Irish bands as well. Everything, really.
Right. What's your favourite song?
I like Mundy, Gin and Tonic Sky. All right, that's probably one of my favourites.
Okay. So, how did it come about? How did the support gig happen for you?
Basically, kind of, I think it was April. I put up a cover on Instagram of Gin and Tonic Sky, one of Mundy's songs.
Yeah.
Just by chance, he saw it.
Nice.
And he shared it on his Instagram, Facebook, and all that kind of thing. And it kind of took off then, really. And coming up there to Ballycotton, one of my dad's friend's cousins would actually be friendly with Mundy.
Right.
And Mossy and the Blackbird as well. And they kind of got me in touch with him, and it kind of went from there, really.
That was a big surprise.
Yeah, it was great, yeah.
Like when you picked up on your cover in the first place, were you surprised by that?
Delighted, yeah. I couldn't believe it, really.
How are you, Brian? Proud of him?
Very proud of him, yeah. Unbelievable, really, how far he's come since he started playing. Very good.
Couldn't believe he just picked up the guitar during lockdown, like.
Yeah, he picked it up during lockdown and he learned a few songs, and he likes a lot of Irish bands and a lot of local Cork bands.
Yeah.
And our local pub here, Mikey at the Schooner Bar, Dave Music every Sunday.
Yes.
And there's a band called August Walk. Dots, David Tobin will be the singer.
Yeah.
And he actually plays down there with Roger. And one night, Dots just got him up for a song, and he done two of their songs, and it kind of went from there. And Julie blowing the Schooner is very good to him. If there's music, we normally go down on a Sunday.
Yes.
For the Sunday evening. And a lot of the bands that play there, they all know him. They'll bring him up, give him a chance, give him a song. And kind of went from there, really.
Had you any idea of this talent when lockdown started first?
I did, and I was just there. Is it just me being his father, or is he really that good? But he's sort of proved himself now a bit. He's doing very well.
Yeah.
But he actually came third in Cork's Teen Idol last year as well.
Yeah.
Liz Cosgrove.
Yeah.
Put him forward then. So last month we were actually over in Manchester for an audition for The Voice Kids UK.
Brilliant.
So we're just waiting on news from that now. The next. Next few weeks, really.
Also, the audition is done. When will you know?
Start of December, first week of December, hopefully. Next week, the week after, hopefully.
You'll let us know, won't you?
We will. So, if he gets through, then we'll have to go to London again.
He told me that yourself and his mum are both big Mundy fans, and I mentioned stuff like July and Mexico, and he would have grown up with those. When you see one of your own youngsters following the music and performing the music that you love, there's a buzz in that, is there?
Oh, there is, totally. Seen him standing up there last night. He played Gin and Tonic Sky with Mundy last night. And it was just absolutely brilliant to see it. And Mundy, in fairness, very good to him, gave him a lot of support, and brilliant.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I find with all the local bands and all the performers around Cork, they're all very friendly. You've all the lads from Flake again, they're the Hollies, he's played with all them. They've all got him up, given him a chance. They've all been very good to him.
That's fantastic. They all recognise a bit of talent. Andrew, one more for you. So what's Mundy really like? What's he like as a guy to play with?
He's such a nice guy. He's chilled out and he's just easy to talk to. He's such a nice guy.
Good. All right. Well, the best of luck to you for your musical future. And I'd be a bit of a Mundy fan myself, and Gin and Tonic Sky is a big favourite of mine. So I must look up your cover. I haven't seen it yet. I must look it up.
Yeah, and it's on Instagram and Facebook anyway.
All right. Best of luck, Andrew.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Cheers. Andrew Fletcher and his dad, Brian. Big moment for the young lad. And he does a great version of Gin and Tonic Sky. If you want to go look that up, you'll find it on his gram or on Facebook. 0818 96 96 96. So much stuff to clear. The Butcher's Block, you remember we were talking about them last week and still haven't had anybody come forward from the company to explain why it was okay to do what they did to people in Blackpool and Douglas. Still haven't anyone come forward to talk to me about that. That doesn't kind of surprise me at all. But the Dublin places are still open. The Dublin branches are still open. And we got a note to say we went to Talla yesterday and they honoured our vouchers for meat. Remember, they had savings vouchers and putting stuff aside for Christmas and all of that. We went to Talla and they honoured our meat vouchers. They wouldn't cash them in, but we did get practically a carload of meat. That was, thanks for that. And I must do this. I should have done this earlier on. Sorry that I didn't. But hello to Michael Dunn from Glenmire. Happy birthday. Have a great day. From Brother Pat, Sister Susan and Niece Lily Sue. Happy birthday. Yeah, PJ send I love the top five adverts. Great choices. Thanks for that. Don't forget to turn the lights off in the Guinness ad. It applies more this year than ever before. It does. And I'll come back to that before we finish. But Carol, it's 3 weeks out. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. And I'm like a small child and have been for the last week or so. And some people are giving out to me and saying, ah, it's too early, calm down, it's only for the children. No. Carol, you're on my side. Morning.
Hi, TJ, how are you?
How are you, girl?
I'm good. Our congratulations in order to you. Well done on your award.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Very kind. You have a choir and you're going singing for Christmas.
We are. So, I'm as hyper as you about Christmas. I absolutely love it. It's one of my favourite times of the year. So we have been practicing really hard for our upcoming concerts since about the end of September. So we've been singing Christmas songs that early, which has been amazing, amazing.
What choir is this, Carol?
So I'm with the Bravehearts Choir, which some people might know. It's a choir that was set up for people that were going through cancer treatments. So it kind of grew. It set up since 2014, and it kind of grew for people who were affected directly or indirectly by cancer. And a lot of our concerts would fundraise for cancer services.
Okay.
So, it's one of the main reasons I joined it, because I love giving back. And as I said, we don't realise how important these services are until they knock on our own door. So our motto is singing for living. So that's what we do. And it's a safe environment for anyone to come to, because music is so uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, unfortunately, a break of 3 years due to the pandemic and just getting back, and our musical director retired. So we have a brand new one now, Jean, who is amazing. So we have two amazing concerts coming up. We're in the Marina Market this Sunday from 1 o'clock to 3 p.m. And we'll be singing all jolly songs. If you want to join us, you're welcome to get up on stage and I'll shout you a hot chocolate and everything.
Carol, you do not want my singing voice. You don't like.
Everyone's welcome. You know, I believe there's a singer in everybody. And
well, I've yet to find my one, so there you go.
You'll have to come along and we'll test you. We'll put you to the test. I'm sure you do a great Jingle Bells, you know. And then we have a special concert, which is in St. Bridget's Church in Cross Avon on Saturday, December the 17th at 7 p.m. So we're going to be joined by Cloister Mira School Choir for that. And it's no tickets, it's donation only. And all the funds raised for that will go to Ark House, which is an amazing charity. So, we're kind of, I'm loving it. It's absolutely amazing.
You and music, anyone who follows you on Instagram or anywhere knows. Just, I'm putting on the spot here now. Is there anyone you didn't see in Cork this year, Carol?
No.
Run through the people you did, just for people. Carol, you think I'm into music and you think others are into music. Carol, run through some of the artists you've been to see in Cork this year.
So, obviously, the Cronas, who I have a big soft spot for, Pitcher Diss, Elton John, Nile Rodgers, Codaline, Gavin James. Westlife were amazing. Yeah. I'm trying to think off the spot. Dermot Kennedy. Yeah. I just can't get enough of them, you know, and I'm going to the Cronas again before this year is out, you know. Louis Capaldi was another one. He was amazing.
You're probably the biggest gig goer I know. Like, you've been to so many of them this year.
Yeah, you know I live for the music, PJ, don't you?
You do. And now you're singing at the Bravehearts Choir. Delighted for you, Carol. And 1 to 3 at the Marina Market this Sunday coming. And they're also in Crosshaven on the 17th of December. Carol, thank you. And have a great Christmas, yourself and the family. 0818 96 96 96. Let me go back to that for a sec. Someone quite aptly said, turning off the lights in the Guinness ad, it plays more this year than ever. Yesterday we were looking at the cost of your Christmas lights, and your LED lights on the tree are cheap. Like, you'll run your Christmas tree, your main Christmas tree, with LED lights on it. You'll run it for the whole Christmas season for less than €1. Like, that's great. That's 6-7 hours a day for less than €1 if it's LED lights. Cheaper again if they're on flickering. The trouble is LED lights that flicker, if you have had a few the night before, not at all. No, couldn't be doing that. But it's up to yourself. But there's an expert in Queen's University in Belfast called Professor Aoife Foley. And she's an expert in energy systems engineering. She's from Bury Manor Road, one of our own. And she has been contributing to an article in The Examiner today on the cost of using household appliances. And something we must do between now and Christmas, and as the weather gets colder next week, as it will, we must talk to someone about our boilers and turning down core temperatures in boilers and how we might adjust the core temperatures in our boilers, because you can save money by doing that. She said turning down your thermostat to about 19 degrees and setting the hot water thermostat to about 60 degrees and making sure your boiler is serviced, up to date, no air trapped, that can save you a few hundred euro a year. The time you spend in the shower costs money. Now, here's one. Charging a laptop for 5 hours. Now, it's 11 cents, but if you're leaving the laptop plugged in all the time, then you're using it round the clock. Your Wi-Fi's on all day and all night. Now, that's cheap. That's 6 cents a day. The telly is the one to watch. Do not have the telly on unless you're actually watching it. Do not, because it's costing you money. 4 hours of the telly cost you about 10 cents. But don't get up in the morning at 8 o'clock and need the telly on all day, because it's mounting up tunes. Every time you use the toaster, it's about 6 cents. Every time you use the iron for a short or a trousers, it's about 20 cents. The Hoover, about 12 cents. And the most expensive, the electric shower. Every time you put your little tush in the electric shower to wash yourself, is about 160, depending on how long you spend there, but 160 to 2 euro every time you step into the electric shower. The electric cooker, cooking dinner on the electric cooker, about 136 for the average dinner. You can save money. We pursue that one as well after the weekend. Now, Geraldine Monaghan from carepack.ie, you have your Christmas campaign. Tell me about it. Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Very good, very good. Tell me about your Christmas campaign.
So basically, it's where we're volunteers and where we've been connecting members of the public with people who are a resident in a care home or a nursing home, and they're sending them a gift for Christmas. So it started in 2020, just a simple post on Facebook that went viral. And this year, we've actually matched 21,000 nursing home residents across the country, which is amazing.
That's fantastic.
Unbelievable.
That is brilliant. Well done with that.
Yeah, it's unreal. Like, there was 13,000 in 2020 and 20,000 in 2021. And to be honest, we didn't foresee it continuing, because it did start because of the pandemic and reaching out to people who were cocooning and who were isolating. But the value has been huge in the nursing homes. They say there's so much fun around it and kind of parties around it. And even people who don't have family at all receiving something like from somebody that, you know, like, you know, nursing home staff will tell us, like, that you might have somebody who has spent their entire life and has never got a present and has started getting presents.
God, isn't
now
that so sad if someone was like that?
It's absolutely heartbreaking, yeah. But it's actually unbelievable, and it has come to light more so this year, the amount of people that are actually like that. So,
what, that they've never had, or in their adult life, they've never had a present?
Yeah. Yeah, that they haven't. And, you know, like, I mean, the one thing about the pandemic, you know, you had a lot of people, obviously, who couldn't have their families in. But what we didn't realise was that while there might be somebody in the home who doesn't have family and who wouldn't have had family visiting anyway, they would have been maybe having a quick word with somebody else's family when they would have been walking in to visit them.
Yes.
And when that person then was like maybe meeting at the window of the bedroom or something like that, the other person who doesn't have the family wasn't seeing anybody at all. So, you know, it's something that we're kind of going to look into a little bit more for maybe next year. But, it's amazing. It's amazing the uptake.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a phenomenal uptake. And I think it's heartwarming too. It must be heartwarming for the people receiving the gifts to know that people care.
Absolutely. But you know what? It's heartwarming across the board because the people who are actually giving the gifts are getting an awful lot out of it as well. And as well as people who are in a nursing home and also their families are getting a lot out of it, and the staff are getting a lot out of it. So across the board, everybody is.
Now, did you ever think you'd be collecting that many gifts?
Absolutely not. Like, when I put the post on Facebook initially, it was just from watching the news, seeing all the people that were in nursing homes that were cocooning, and I just thought it was so sad. Mm. And I contacted my local nursing home and just said to them, you know, would people be open to receiving, you know, a gift or a letter from a few friends of mine who wouldn't necessarily know them? And I just put it up on Facebook, and before I knew where I was, it was gone. Just went completely viral.
Yeah.
And even then my friend created the website around it, which allowed us to scale it up.
Yeah. I remember there was a campaign locally here, Geraldine, I think, as well, where one or two of the nursing homes invited people, just send a card. Just send in a Christmas card, because it was so hard. And this time last year, I think the nursing homes were they on lockdown again this time last year?
Yeah, they were. And like when we started the campaign last year, they weren't. But by the time it came to Christmas, they were. So, you know, there was a huge uptake. But I have to say, like, the big factor in this is on post, because on post are given free post to nursing homes for the Christmas period.
They are.
So they had done it for 2020 Christmas right up until March of this year. And then they reopened it again on the 7th of November. So it's 1 kg this time. It had been 2, but it's 1 kg, which is ample.
Yeah.
And
it's not just cards, Geraldine. You can send a little present for free.
You can send a package, a package up to 1 kg in weight, which is a lot.
Yes.
So that's we're piggybacking off that as well. But a lot of people are delivering, you know, directly, but themselves, you know, but a lot of people are using the post. So I mean, on post, they're just so generous to be doing that.
Yeah. There would be memorable ones. I was actually very surprised to hear what you said, that you'd come across people who'd never had a present in all of their adult life. That's so sad.
It's so sad. And like, I was talking to one nursing home in particular, and he was telling me about, you know, they had several residents in the one nursing home that didn't have anybody. And it just really struck me, and I said it to a few friends of mine, and he mentioned that they'd love Christmas jumpers. They'd love to do a Christmas jumper day. So I said it to a few friends of mine, and before I knew where I was, I got enough Christmas jumpers for my own friends for that particular home. So I'm going to go there before Christmas and deliver them myself, which is going to be nice too, because I've been in contact with all these, myself and Stephen have been in contact with all these nursing homes all this time, and it's nice to actually get to call.
That's lovely. So if somebody wants to get involved, if somebody wants to send a present, what can they do? Well, do they get on to you?
Well, we're actually closed, because I know, look, we didn't expect it, but it never happened before, but there's 21,000 people that we had signed up, and they literally all went of a shot, I think, because a lot of people that did it last year signed up already. So what we have now instead is we had a section for schools, where as well, we'll say, like, the care packs is one section of the website, but on the other side then there was like a section for schools where school children could get involved to send a letter as opposed to a gift.
Right.
And so that section is still open there. There's still quite a lot of residents there. If somebody wants to go in there, you'll see schools only on the website. And you can go in there, and individuals, we welcome individuals now to go in there and just click on the school section and connect with a resident. And then all the list of counties will come up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can choose a county, not per home, but per county. So you'll be given one at random. And the name and address then of the person will be emailed to you, and you can then write them a letter or send them a gift, send them a card or a drawing or whatever.
And Geraldine, off the top of your head, about how many people are in nursing homes up and down the country? After, if you haven't got the number to hand, but how many would you reckon?
I have no idea, to be honest. I have no idea.
Tens of thousands, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, now there's an ambulance passing, but. There's quite a lot.
Okay. So it's open for schools still. The package is you're fully subscribed on presents, which is brilliant. God, I hope that's not going anywhere serious. Carepack.ie is the website, and all the instructions are there.
Yes, absolutely. Fair They're all there.
All right. Okay. Listen, leave you go. Thank you very much. That's Geraldine Monaghan from carepack.ie. Wonderful idea. Isn't that the saddest thing? I know we're all happy and bouncy with 3 weeks to Christmas, but isn't that the saddest thing? That there are people in a nursing home somewhere up and down the country or somewhere around our lovely county or our city, that there could be some man, woman, who's never had a present in their entire adult life. And Geraldine and her people are doing something about that. They're trying to get your head around that one as well. Head into the weekend. I don't want to believe in you with depressing thoughts, but head into the weekend with that thought in your mind that there could be someone in a nursing home or a hospital or wherever or anywhere that in their entire adult life have never had a Christmas present. That's a very, very sobering thought, isn't it?
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.